About 15 years ago, a group of friends from college gathered together to support our friend Nina Johnson, whose sister had died in a very horrendous and tragic car accident. It was over the summer, and she was living like many college students do in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and she was driving home from work late at night and was involved in this tragic accident that took her life. And so we gathered together at the Johnson's household to support our friend Nina and to support each other and to be with her parents. And during a very emotional service in their backyard, her dad, Worthy, read a poem entitled The Dash. It began, "I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on their tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of birth and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that they spent alive on earth. And now only those who love them know what that little line is worth." The dash. We've all seen it on many a tombstones. We've seen it in many a funeral bulletins and many of an obituary. And it is precisely what St. Paul is talking about in the letter to Romans that Emily read for us today. He's talking about life after the crucifixion and resurrection, i.e., what happens after the events of 33 AD, how it changes us. But first, he addresses why these events on Calvary were so important, why they changed us. They were so important because the crucifixion and the resurrection answers once and for all God's response to sin, capital S, sin, and death, the enemy, the devil, the problems, the pains of the world. St. Paul uses the word groan. He says, creation has groaned for this deliverance for years. Groan can be translated as grief, deep sadness, the calling out for relief. It's the bubbling up of that desire to solve the most challenging and hurtful problem in your soul. One that we all have, something that groans for resolution. The groaning for deliverance, the clamoring, had been heard throughout the history of God's people. It's the floodwaters wiping away the earth clean that Mary Stone so eloquently reminded us of. It's the sound of enslavement under Pharaoh. It's the brutality of Nebuchadnezzar. And it's the bondage of our unruly wills and souls. More fatted calves or towers of Babels. It's the power of sin and death that have had a hammerlock on this world for so many years. And that's why groaning, all of creation groaning, is part and parcel to the history until that day when Jesus breathed his last. And the world stood still, beckoning the loudest groan of all time when the temple was torn in two and darkness fell. And then it happened, didn't it? And then that Easter morning, he rose and he came back from the dead to visit his friends and to bring peace and love to the world. So then we have the new creation. We have the beginning of our new life under Christ. And now we are in this new creation St. Paul is describing. We're in our dashes, in other words. But yet we still groan. St. Paul says. We still have these inner groans. Why? Because the world has not been redeemed by the second coming. As we all know, in our own hearts and bodies and souls and minds, is that we still groan for deliverance. Still groan for redemption, for adoption. We groan for Christ to come back and solve all of our problems, knowing that he will. But that doesn't take away the inner groan, does it? That doesn't take away the inner pain that we all carry on a daily basis. And Paul knows this all too well. That's why he constantly reminds us that he has a thorn in his side. He knows this truth. The truth that tells us that Jesus has redeemed us, bringing us into full communion and righteousness with God, and that this world is still broken, and that we are still broken in our dash. And we're free to acknowledge this because of Jesus' lordship, because Jesus died. And we know that one day we too will rest with him and his Father in heaven. In other words, the cross gives us an ability to call a thing, to acknowledge those pains that we live with on a daily basis, those things that we inwardly groan for resolution and relief. It's why Martin Luther called this theology a theology of the cross, which is a world refracted through the lens of the cross, enabling us to see God at work in our dash and in our inner groans. And so what are these inner groans? Where does this touch you? Think about children that have gone astray, marriages without love, aging parents, sibling rivalries, regrets, those things left undone in your life, those heartaches that just won't seem to go away. The Gordian knots is where we groan. And it's what we all have. Jürgen Moltmann, the theologian, says, through the fourth force of his surrender of himself to the death on the cross, Christ sends the Spirit of life. That is the revelation of love in the pain of God. The Spirit of life is the revelation of love in the pain of God, which makes new life for sinners like you and me, and the dying to our old life possible. Again, it means that the Spirit is in that dash, and that we can continue to live in our dash, knowing that Jesus has brought us and given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. This becomes a Pentecostal theology. It becomes a recognition that the power of the Holy Spirit to do those things in our weakness that we don't have words to acknowledge is truly possible. St. Paul says, the Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. Did you hear that? St. Paul says, the Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. God's Holy Spirit is at work in your life in that Gordian knot, breathing new life into dead life. What's this look like? Personally, when I was in college, some of you've heard some of these stories, I had an enormous plethorful, if you want to call it, smorgasbord of inward groans. And that's underselling it. I was, at its core, I was incredibly unsure of myself. I lacked any real self-confidence, any real confidence in me, in saying, I am this person. Going through that transition that many of us do during college or in that period when we leave our parents' nest, we're out in the world, we're thrown loose, we're dislocated. And I was so dislocated. I had no moorings, no compass, no true north. I didn't feel comfortable in my own skin. And so I did what many of us do when we don't feel comfortable at any age, and that's that I put masks on. I pretended. I pretended to be the party animal, and that was my mask. I was going to be the life of every single party, and I succeeded. And I pushed the edge at all times until that day when the mask wore off. The thing about masks is they're not permanent. And you can try to wear them and you can try to reapply them, but like makeup, with enough water, they will dissolve. And mine dissolved in the face of Dean Longman's expressionless face when he informed me that I was being suspended from Middlebury College indefinitely. I was silenced. The Gordian knot had blown open, had not been resolved, but that inner groan had totally decimated me. The thing about our groans is that when they're unresolved and they blow up, they cripple you to the floor. And here I was on the floor of St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in the town green, wailing and sobbing uncontrollably, with nowhere to turn. My whole body being taken over by the release of this pain. And it was in that moment that I felt the warmth of a hand touch my back. And as the hand continued to press onto my back, I felt as if it was sucking up all of that groaning, all of those pains, pulling it into itself and then breathing back into me love, grace, mercy, the power of the Holy Spirit that I felt that day in that chapel is the power of the Holy Spirit that St. Paul talks about when he says that it intercedes on our behalf. It works in that super deep level where we don't even have words to describe it. 18 years later, I can barely still make sense of the way that I felt that day. Because in the rubble, in the pain of my life, I met Jesus through the Holy Spirit, breathing new life into my dead life, breathing love into my self-hatred and loathing, breathing forgiveness into all of my mistakes. Amen.